16 says, he defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord. I'm not sure how we're going with our photos, but I've got some photos. I'm not very good with technology. Should have probably put them in a PowerPoint, but we'll go and follow along as we go. In 2018, I travelled to Africa for 4 weeks and worked in Uganda with an organisation called SOUP, Supporters of Ugandan Poor, on behalf of my uncle Nelson Swick, for 2 weeks, and then I travelled to Uganda and Kenya border to meet Bishop Michael Masali. I had met Bishop Michael Masali in Australia a few years earlier when he preached at Teen Challenge SA, an organisation which I've been involved with as a volunteer for about 9 years. He shared the heart of what his mission was at Victory School that night in chapel. And it really stirred my heart, and I felt that there was a connection and God was calling me to maybe have some involvement with Africa. And after the service, we had a conversation about the Victory Christian School, the need to bring help and teaching from other areas of the world to be able to encourage them and bless them. That meeting had me so stirred, and I felt in my heart that I need to start planning to do a trip to Africa. Now, I've never really travelled overseas, never really had a wish to do much in the way of travelling, but I felt a big stirring in my heart. I'd been divorced in 2010, and I was on my own at that time. Since coming back from Africa, I met my beautiful wife, Dodie, and I had been praying to God to bless me with a godly woman, and the desires of my heart were for that, and also to have a wife who had a heart for mission as well. And my wife had been travelling to Cambodia as part of the school she was teaching at, and involved in mission in Cambodia. And so we got together, and the Africa mission has become a big part of our hearts. As only God can do, a family organisation in Uganda was calling me at the time, the SOUP organisation, and the two areas, Bishop Michael in Turbo and my uncle in Jinja in Uganda's mission, they were not very far apart, and so I knew God was calling me to be part of a trip and to go over and be involved in both missions. So I spent 2 weeks in Uganda, and then I crossed the border into Kenya. Here in SA, I'd just spent 3 years as an agriculture trainer. I was born and bred as a farmer and spent 15 years farming. In the early 90s, I leased my farm out and worked off-farm for many organisations, and I've had many skills developed and found myself as an agriculture trainer here in Adelaide a few years ago, doing agriculture, horticulture, work for dole training, safety training, first aid training and things like that. Bishop said to me he thought I had something I could offer. So the first few photos are of me of the school at Turbo Christian Victory School, and myself, I guess going there was to partly be involved with the children, but also Bishop, knowing my background, wanted me to be involved with teaching adults in the community some life skills. So I shared with the kids how much Jesus loves them, and that he loved to see children come to him and be blessed by him. One of the things I did was I took some equipment over with me, and I was able to teach the kids some things. I also took a Aussie rules football over and taught them how to kick a footy, which was quite fascinating. I even had some of the female lady teachers trying to have a kick of a footy, so that was rather an interesting concept. There's a river creek just down behind, so I suspect the footy probably ended up in the creek at some point, but there was no fences in that area. I was fascinated watching the children play at lunchtimes. Being at the school was a blessing for me, and to understand the African culture was just really awesome. I did realise that we take so much for granted here in Australia. They had nothing to play with, except as I watched the boys. If you can just see that photo, on the left side there's a young man pushing a tyre. There were some old tyres lying around, and their entertainment, the boys appeared to just grab a tyre, and I was watching them laugh and play and run and roll this tyre backwards and forwards, and that was their toys. The next photo I think shows, tug of war. They showed me how they play tug of war. Now, they do it as a human chain, and it was rather interesting because, you could see it was fraught with danger. If they slipped, they'd end up in a heap. But there was a lady who'd travelled to Africa a couple of years earlier, and she decided that wasn't on. And so she went through the to the community shopping area and found a rope and bought them a rope so they could actually play tug-of-war with a rope. But the girls, when I was watching the boys push the tyres around, the girls were actually playing strings. I think they call it strings, where the girls put string between their legs between two groups, and then they step through it. And I was watching them play strings, but the strings were getting shorter and shorter because they'd break and they'd tie a knot in it. And I was fascinated. One lot of strings, the girls were only probably literally 3 or 4 feet apart, and it had so many knots. So this little one piece of string was their only asset of a toy, and they were just continuing to reuse it. So they had nothing to play with at all. And it was just quite amazing. While spending time at the school in Turbo, I got a real understanding of Bishop Michael and his wife, Emily, who pastors a church at Sarigay, and she was also a teacher. They shared their dream of growing the Turbo School and bringing children of the poorest families from the community to feed and educate them, to help share the gospel and to also assist to bring families out of poverty. Often only one child from a poor family can get sponsorship in the hope that that child can get an education and to help the family in the long term to bring them out of poverty. The more children that can get sponsored, the more families can get helped out of that poverty situation that they're in. A sponsored child will be provided a meal a day and education. This is the kids lining up for the meal, and they'd get in a big line during lunchtime, and they'd walk down. They had a bucket where they had to wash their hands, then someone would hand them a plate, and then they'd move on, and there was some cooks who would cook up a big pot of food, and each child would be given an amount of food. And often the meal that that child had was the only meal for the day that that child would get. And on weekends when they're not at school, they don't get a meal. So these are the poor of the poorest children. Michael's heart is for the poor of the poorest. And, these children, often there's only one sibling in a family that's getting that education. And yet they have a joy in their hearts. And I just, the smiles on their face just melts you. Yeah, it's just amazing. While staying with Bishop Michael and Emily, a lady from Adelaide by the name of Lee Sanders arrived and spent time with us. Her intent was her and Bishop were going to go to Tanzania, where she'd done many mission trips, but there was a bit of unrest, and so she ended up staying, and she taught micro-business skills to the women whilst I was teaching the groups that I was teaching. We were blessed to be part of the service. The young lady singing at the front is a lady by the name of Violet. And I think the next photo is Bishop, but also with Edward. So Edward and Violet were both involved in assisting us in what we were doing there teaching. And they were our interpreters. And anything we needed, they supplied. They came up with it. But Lee and I discovered that these two people were travelling in and assisting in those 2 weeks we were there. While they were working with us, they weren't at home earning a living. And also, Edward was walking 14 kilometres in the morning to get there before I got there, to have the thing set up ready for me to start teaching. And then he'd walk 14 kilometres at home at night. Violet was walking 10 kilometres in and then 10 kilometres home at night. And I asked, how are you doing this? And they said, well, we just get up really early and walk. Everyone walks, and that's just part of it. But we were so taken aback from their commitment to what we were there to try and help do, that Leah and I are able to bless them with some money to cover the income that they'd lost, and also we funded some bike taxis for them to get them in and out, so to make their life a bit easier. It was just that's the commitment that these people have to the church and to their community. They're amazing people. But the worship was just wonderful. I just, when I first got to Africa, in Uganda, I got taken to a church in Jinja. And whilst I didn't understand a word that was going on in the worship, some of the tunes I could pick up from some of the old hymns I grew up as a child hearing, and it was just powerful worship. They love God with their whole hearts and their minds, and it's just a beautiful thing. Okay, part of what Bishop Michael wanted me to do was to run some teaching workshops to teach adults in the church community some life skills. And so I'd sort of set up teaching agriculture and horticulture basics, fencing, engineering, building and construction, and my life skills as a farmer. I work for Elders Limited as a livestock officer and a animal health nutritionalist, a livestock seller and buyer. I'd been a merchandise salesman and a chemical seller and an agronomist. And so my life skills and also the industries I'd been involved with, I have many skills, and I'd always wondered why I'd had so many different skills in my life and been in so many industries and had so many different employments. And whilst I was there teaching, I had a God moment, you'd call it a God aha moment, where God placed on, and I think it was about the last day I was teaching, standing up the front teaching, and God just showed me all your life skills, here you go, you're using them. You're actually using your gifts that I've given you. And I had a bit of a moment on that. But one of the other things was first aid. So here we've got a garden. I just showed a shonky old fence. As a farmer, I take one look at that fence and with horror. And they seem to put things together that quickly and easily, but they don't last because they're not done very well. And one thing I discovered was they've lost a lot of life skills from genocide, wars, and a lot of the older people aren't around anymore, and a lot of the younger generations don't know a lot of the basic things that they would get taught from generation to generation. So I don't know how I managed to get that one crooked, but I taught them how to do a fence strut. And we were digging the hole, and they dug down that deep and said, is that deep enough? I said, no, keep digging. Is that deep enough, Matt? Keep digging. And I made them dig down to about 700 deep to put this post in and set up a strainer. And I said, afterwards, we rammed it in and made it solid. And I said, now you lean on that. You can't move it. So when we stretch a fence out, that will still be there in 20 years' time because you've put good structures in place. A bit like the cornerstone of a church, isn't it? You've got to put things, start well. So they were quite fascinated about things, some basic things like that. So the shot before was a photo of the garden. I took a heap of veggie seeds over from Australia and also bought some whilst I was over there. And I showed them how to mulch and how to set up garden beds and how to prepare it, how to look after it long term and that. And within, I think, 3-4 months coming back to Australia, they showed me footage of the weather's fantastic. It rains and then the sun comes out. And the stuff had germinated within a week of us growing it. And 3 months later, they sent me photos of these amazing veggies. They didn't like the little red radishes. I love radishes. It wasn't a flavour they'd ever had before. And, they thought they were a bit different. But, there were a couple of the things. So if we go on the next photo. So mechanics, so as a farmer, I grew up on a farm where we did all our mechanical work. Whilst I'm not a trained mechanic, I did rebuild many cars and bikes and trucks and harvesters over the years. So they rocked up with this engine on the back of a motorbike, I might add. We've lifted it up onto a bench, and I proceeded to dismantle a complete engine with them, with limited tools, because I had no tools, and I asked them to supply me a few tools, and the toolbox that turned up was very limited. But we pulled it apart and discovered that it had blown a head gasket, and that's why that engine had been taken out. They're quite fascinated by that. We then got Bishop Michael's car, and I went through the logbook to show them how to look after a car and service it. In the 2 weeks in Uganda, the young man that was evangelist that was working with me literally blew up two cars because he just didn't look after them. He was overheating them and not knowing what to do and check water and fluids and oils, and they don't have an understanding of some basics that we take for granted. So if we can just go to another photo. So that's them nearly with it apart. My apologies, I've managed to get it sideways. And then someone bought a motorbike, and so we did a bit of a service on that. Probably one of the big things I took over with me was first aid. Bishop had showed me that there was a problem with the building, the church building, and so part of the building and construction thing, we talked about structures and how things are put together, and we discovered that they hadn't done the foundation well down on that back corner and hadn't actually linked the bricks together, and so the wall was starting to crack apart. So we pulled it a corner apart and then rejigged it to help hold it together, and they've re-concreted it up, and hopefully that will last a lot longer for them. But one of the things I did was first aid. I haven't got any photos of the first aid, but they have got no first aid understanding. They've never ever been taught first aid basics, and the stories I was being told of some of their houses are little mud huts, and there might be five or six people in there, and there's a cooking pot in the middle. And one man came up to me after I taught about burns and scalding, and he said, "I lost my two-year-old son. Him and his brother were racing around playing and tripped over the boiling water. It scalded him. They didn't know what to do, and so he basically passed away." Another one said about someone had cut a limb off and they bled to death. They had no concept. So I taught basic burns, basic blood control, and things like that, and they were amazed. And I took a first aid kit over with the intent to leave it at the school, but I filled it with lots of bandages and that we could use it as a training. And so I had these people learning how to do a sling and how to pressure if they get a cut and things like that. And it was just amazing. And I had one young man tell me how his wife would fall down and the devil had taken her. And I said, "What would you do?" And he said, "We'd all jump on her and hold her down and pray over her." And I worked out she was having epilepsy. And so I taught them how to handle epilepsy in you just make it safe for them and let them go through the process and things like that. And they were amazed. It was probably the single most important thing I felt I did in those 2 weeks. So I did 1 week at Turbo and then another week at Sarigay. And it was just a very, very powerful thing teaching first aid. We'll move along to, if you can just flick through a few more of those photos. So that's just the building. So when we finish, I haven't actually asked Michael. We'll just hold it there. So that's Lee teaching the women micro business. And a lot of the men, it's Father's Day. Unfortunately, the men in Africa have felt so hopeless Most of them are alcoholics, if there's even a father there. And so the women become the ones who have to handle the money and the business. And so by empowering the women to manage business well, Leah was trying to teach them how to put a business together and how to be able to make an income. Often the husbands would be sitting around drinking alcohol, and then they'd come home and demand money, but they didn't have anything. There was no money for anything. So Leah was teaching them how to create a business and then how to set that business up to make it be able to be supportive for the family. So her ministry was really powerful as well. Whilst we were staying out in the towns, if we can just flick to another photo, out to Bishop's house, the mud was horrendous. It was raining all the time. And Leah and I were having wagers on whether Bishop was going to get us bogged out in the middle of nowhere, because the track in and out of where his house was always muddy. There was always people bogged, but he just had a knack of quietly going through and getting us each day into town and out of town again. And the next photo shows every day he had to send his generator into the school so I could power up my laptop to do a PowerPoint and do the presentations. And then the bike taxi would bring the generator back home so that if he had a blackout at his house, we had power at nights. So next photo, I think, yeah, so this is part of the community and part of the marketplace area, which is not very far from where the school is. Bishop took Lee, and we'll go into the next photo, took Lee and myself for a walk through the slums let's go there. As you can see, don't give me a computer. We went for a walk through the slums, and many of the children that are at the school come from this area. Bishop's model of sponsorship of a child, to take one child out of each family to be able to bring them in and give them education, is designed to try and empower them to get an education and be able to do well in life and then support their family. That's, I believe, a really good model, that the system that he's using, because there's other schools around, but these children aren't given the ability to go to the other schools. A, they've got no money or any prestige. There's quite a large American-built school facility in the community, but these are the kids that don't get a chance at all. And so he took us for a walk out there, and it was heartbreaking because Leah and I had put together little packs. He said we're going to go and visit 7 or 8 families that are connected with the school and the church community. And so we put little care packages together and took out. And as we're walking out carrying these care packages, on the sides of the tracks that we're walking in were the poorest kids and families standing there watching, and then their eyes had light up as they saw these people walk past. But we walked past them to go to families that Bishop had us to go to. And it had quite a profound impact on Leah and I. Spoke about this at length after the fact. It broke our hearts. We were going to bless someone, but we were walking past so many others that were in such dire conditions. It was just awful. But they're so thankful. They are so thankful for any bit of help that they get. Leah and I, if we just continue on with the photo, so that's just us walking through. We'll keep going. So Leah and I, this is Sarah Gay. So Bishop Michael is now, and his wife Emily. Emily's the pastor of the Sarah Gay Church, but Bishop Michael and his wife Emily are trying to establish a school there, and that, I believe, has started in the last year or so. But they currently don't have classrooms as such, but there was a little mud, you can just see the mud hut just at the back there. That's what they're using as a room to teach. And Lee was using that area to teach women business, micro business, and I was using the church, which is a building on the right, to teach all the other subjects that I was teaching. But this is us standing around the garden, it was fascinating. My life experience as a farmer, and I'm still connected with farming and communities. I was looking at the corn crop just behind, and it was yellow and diseased and all that. And in the conversations about planting and good health and nutrition for plants, I just made a comment, how many years has that crop of corn grown at the back? And an old gentleman put his hand up and said, that crop's been corn 20 years straight. And I said, that probably explains why it looks diseased and unhealthy, because you get soil-borne diseases and other, and anyone that grows veggies at home, you can't put certain veggies at the same time, same place every year. You've got a crop rotation. And so I started talking about crop rotations and nutrition, and I said, in Australia, we will plant, and I'm talking from a broad farming perspective, we'll put peas or beans where next year we'll have wheat or barley, because the peas and beans will clean the soil and take out disease. And I said, we work in rotations. And this old gentleman put his hand up and he said, you are right. He said, last year I planted corn, ran out of seeds. All I had was some bean seeds. So I planted some beans. And he said, this year, where the beans were last year, the corn looks green and healthy, whereas where the corn's been year after year after year, it's not. It's disease. And so these are skills, basic skills that we know, but these skills have been lost. And so trying to encourage them. A young man there said, I have to clean shoes to make enough money to feed my three children. And he said, all I have is 1/8 of an acre to grow food to eat and to be able to support my family to sell. And he said, how am I meant to do that with 1/8 of an acre? And I said, reflecting back in Australia, we had to improve what we did so to improve your yield. So if your 1/8 can grow 100 kilos of something, and you improve it so you can grow 200 kilos, you've just doubled your ability to feed and to support. And he, in this discussion, he's gone, yes, you're right. I don't have to have extra land. I have to do better what I'm doing. So my encouragement to both groups were, when I come back, and my wife and I were planning to go last year but couldn't because of COVID, I was going to go to each of the people that were part of these things to see what we've done here, what have you done and transposed that at your house to improve what you're doing, to improve your ability to feed yourselves and make some more money. And so my prayer was that they got something out of that to learn some new skills and to be able to do better what they need to do with the food side of it. So we both did sessions there as well. In 2019, unfortunately, with COVID hit and caused much chaos in all of Africa. The town of Turbo saw a massive flood, and the creek that we saw earlier behind the school rose up. It broke the bridges and it cut the communities in half. And because they were in lockdown, they weren't allowed to go out on the side of the road to sell their wares. So people were literally starving. So there were some groups here in Adelaide who helped send some money over for Bishop to be able to support him with food, because there was about, I think he said there was about 200 families that they supported with rice just to keep them alive, because they were literally starving and dying last year during that period of time. And the sad event occurred where one of the fathers tried to cross the raging river to get back to his family because he'd been cut off, and he never made it. He passed away in the waters of that river. So that was really sad, and it's just been an awful time for many over there. Education is a way of Africa to get out of poverty, and through teaching the gospel within this space, I believe we're empowering the next generation to become godly leaders and the future of Africa, the future of bringing Africa out of that poverty-stricken space that they're in. And I see the model that a bishop has created and what he's doing is really working well towards that. I spoke in a couple of the classrooms, I said to the children, I think in Turbo it was year six, five or six was the last one there. I think they've moved on now to year seven, I think, in Turbo. But I said to the children, what do you want to do when you grow up? What's your dreams, hopes and dreams? And I had doctors, I had nurses, farmers. One wanted to be an Air Force pilot. Another one wanted to be a lawyer, and another one wanted to be a politician. And I said, you children have the ability to change your community. If you grow up, and the corruption in government and that in many of the countries in Africa, the corruption is horrendous. You children can change that. If you live lives as you're being taught as godly lives, and become godly leaders and are educated, you can change your communities for the better. And it's a wonderful thing to see that is going to happen as these children are being taught the gospel and also encouraged in education and to become godly leaders. In 2018, while I was there, Bishop Michael was explaining to me that they didn't have enough classrooms. Now, this is a photo of the year ones in 2018 had to use a kitchen area for a classroom because they didn't have enough classrooms. And they desperately needed more classrooms. He showed me where they would build if they had the funds. Now, can you see those rocks and boulders there? Now, I spent 4 years when I leased my farm out as an earth mover, and I'm looking at that and saying, where do you want to build the classrooms? And they go, here. And I said, there's some big rocks there. I said, you're going to need an excavator and a rock breaker to try and do something with this. How are you going to get it level? And they just grinned and, yeah, just nodded. And so if you can continue on with the photos. So this is what the little area looked like. And we'll go through to the next one. They, in 2018, when Bishop was... had come back to Australia. I interviewed him at a men's... I'm heavily involved in men's ministry in the northern suburb areas. And I interviewed Bishop Michael. And I, 3 months later, a dear gentleman came up to me and said, my wife and I have been putting money aside to fund our children's university. None of our kids went to university. They're all grown up and left home. We feel in our hearts we want to bless this and give this money to build classrooms. So they said, we'll pay for two classrooms. No sooner had I rang Bishop to inform him of this blessing, they'd got to work. What they did was they built fires over all those iron stones, got it really, really hot, and then used water and created cracks, and then they slowly smashed it up. So if we can go to the next fire, just good old-fashioned hard work. And they broke them down. I think the next one shows... No, just go one more there. They'd broken it down to such a place that they were able to do the foundations and build these two new classrooms. It was just amazing. So the new classrooms were then built. And I think we've got another photo. That's them before they finished painting. And that's the two new classrooms and the kids standing next to. So they've got classrooms up to, I think, year seven now, I think, to be able to... So what they were doing was every year they were planning to build a classroom, and then the year ones would go to year two into the next classroom, if you know what I mean, to develop the school. And I think that's his plans for Sarigay as well, eventually. In 2019, my wife and I have been involved in developing an African Children's Good News Reader book based on a book a friend had developed for a Cambodian mission. It was on my heart as it was desperately needed. And during my travels through Uganda and Kenya, I kept getting asked, we desperately need children's resources. We don't have children's resources. I was asked for Bibles as well, but material for the children. And a friend of mine had developed this book for Cambodia, and so my wife and I had it re-arted to be culturally suitable for Africa. Had it translated back to English, because that's what Bishop and all my other contacts required, because it's taught as a second language. And we've had this produced. My wife and I have had working with Bishop. It gets printed in Nairobi in Kenya. We've had to date 20,000 of these books handed out throughout Africa. And we're about to do another print in probably in the next 2 or 3 months, God willing, if Bishop is able to assist with the collection of them. But out of every print, we give Bishop 3,000 to 4,000 for him to use in his mission field and wherever. But they go to Uganda. We've even had them into Papua New Guinea, Fiji. But they were originally designed for Africa. The children at Victory have received a copy each, and this book, sometimes this is the only book they've ever owned in their lives. And we've got one copy here for people to see after the service if you want to, just interested in having a look at it. And we did it predominantly with really high quality paper, because when you see the homes that it goes into, a mud hut, they could get food spilled on it, and so it's been designed so it can get wiped off. The paper is high quality, so it can't tear easily. It's to give it longevity of life. And on the back, we just have supplied by Christians in Australia. And I'm a farmer. I never thought I'd be involved in putting a book together, and this is just how God uses our gifts. I came home, and He kept opening doors for this to happen. And to my amazement, my wife and I, when we got married 2.5 years ago, were able to use money from the giftings from that, from our wedding, to actually get the first print up and running. And each book costs us 60 cents to make, and you'll be amazed when you see the quality. Here in Adelaide, when I had Open Bookshop, Howden did the first print of 200 just as a trial run, and they cost us about $7, $8 each to print. But we're getting them printed at 60 cents a copy in Nairobi. In Cambodia at the moment, they're getting printed for 40 cents a copy. So, but the COVID caused a bit of havoc with quality supply of paper, because it all came from China, and we couldn't get paper for a little while. So, so that's a book. And I believe that every book goes home to a family, and that child will read the gospel to their siblings, and also to mum and dad, who probably the first time they've ever heard the gospel. So something simple as that is quite amazing. After my return to Australia, another group here in Adelaide met with me and discussed about playground. They had on their heart the fact that we needed a playground. And I investigated the fact that there's a lot of McDonald's and schools were pulling old playground equipment down and replacing it here in Australia, but the cost to get it in a container over to Africa was just, it was just too restrictive. So I discovered a place in, I think it was Nairobi, that actually manufactured and supplied equipment like we have here in Australia, high quality equipment. So I passed that information on to them. They organised to get some new equipment made. One of the local elders of the church is the local engineer. He made a set of monkey bars, and that church group travelled over in 2019 and built the playground. So where I was talking about earlier, kids, all they had was a tie to roll and a piece of string around their legs, they've been blessed. And my wife, Dodie, and I, when the people sent me a video of the opening of it, I was sobbing. I was weeping watching these kids' faces as they amazingly ran out into an Australian design type playground that we take for granted. Our kids take that for granted. So, it's amazing. So that's become a big part of the community. And I believe it's brought other community members to actually start coming to church and being part of the community as well, because they've just been amazed with what's going on there. So, these kids have never had playground equipment. I commend to you the support that you've given to Bishop Michael. As I said, he passes on greetings to you, and he would prefer to be the one standing up here And to be honest, I'd prefer him to be the one standing up here. But I feel called to support him and to be able to continue on doing his work because we feel very, very strongly about what is happening in Africa. And the kids now are growing gardens. There's just so much good is happening and they're being blessed so much. So we commend the support you've given. The connection you have with Bishop Michael and Emily and the Victory Christian School. And I'd like to encourage you all to continue to pray. There was talk about prayer earlier, how important it is to pray. And we need to pray not only for our governments, but we need to pray for their governments and also pray for the Victory Christian School, for God to continue to bless them. And for every child that gets a chance for education, that can bring that family out of poverty. So please continue to pray, and we just ask you to continue to support in any way that you can. And once the COVID issues in the world are over and we can get back to doing some travelling again, if you have any kind of an inkling of travelling overseas, I really recommend go over and see for yourself the amazing things that is happening at Victory School and with Bishop. He loves to have people come and stay, but it will change you. It will totally change you, as it changed myself. My wife had travelled to Cambodia on mission trips. It changed her. I believe in our education departments, we should have all our kids have to travel to a mission field somewhere in the world. So I commend this wonderful people to you, just thank you for what you've done, and just encourage you to continue to lift them up and hold them up. So thank you for that. And if anyone has any questions, my wife and I will hang around after the service for a bit and be more than happy to have a bit of a chat and talk about it, and if you have specific questions that you'd like to ask. So thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, I've got a